Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic, no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then, taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's going on, everybody? Happy Thursday. This is a special episode. It's a shorter episode, but it's worth it. There is a brand new movie. It's coming out, and it is called Late Night with the Devil. It stars David Dastmalchian, which, if you've been following me for a little bit, you know I had a chance to speak with David back in the Collider Live days, and you've seen him kind of posting in a video for Schmodown. This guy's worked with everybody. Whether it's Christopher Nolan, Denis Villeneuve, James Gunn, the amount of movies this guy has been in and the great performances. I mean, he was just in Dune, he was in The Suicide Squad, and now he's leading his own movie with this film, Late Night with the Devil. So I'm very excited for you guys to see this interview. It's really a great conversation. David's one of my favorite people. I love how open he is. I love about how he continuously, he talks about the adversity he had in his life, how he overcame it, but also just other things and the way that he approaches everything from work to life, and especially this particular role. So I hope you enjoy the conversation. If you're brand new to the channel, you've never been here before, subscribe to the channel. We have interviews like this. We have out-of-the-theater reactions. We have regular reactions. We have movie reviews. We have full podcasts. If you're into the UAP phenomenon, we have that. So we have all of this stuff, man. So hopefully you enjoy this interview. Please leave your comments. Click the like button. And without any further ado, it is the big thing with myself and David Dastmalchian. Let's get to it. Here we go. All right, guys, let's talk about AG1. You guys know I love AG1. If you've been listening to my show, you've heard me talk about them, and I've been drinking them for about 2 years now, and I love it. Never been a vitamins guy. I've told you that. I take it all one shot, AG1. I put it in a water bottle. I shake it up. I'm good to go. I recommend AG1 to my friends. I recommend AG1 to my family, everybody. AG1 is a team of doctors and scientists. It is tested for 950 contaminants and NSF certified for sport. It is formulated based on the latest science and maintains high quality standards. You guys know they've been with us for a while because you guys know too. You've all been checking them out, and everybody who's been signing up to AG1 says the same thing. It's changed your energy. It's changed how you approach things in the day. You're smiling more. Running around the place and you're sleeping better. I know. AG1 is the supplement that I trust to provide the support my body needs daily. And that's why they've been a partner for so long. If you want to take ownership of your health, it starts with AG1. Try AG1 and you get a free 1 year supply of vitamin D3, K2, and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase. Go to drinkag1.com/big thing. Drinkag1.com/big thing. Check it out.
Excited to talk to you guys about Factor, man. You know, it's not always easy to eat better, but it is with Factor because they have delicious, ready-to-eat meals. It's every one of them is it's fresh, it's never frozen, it is chef-crafted, it's dietitian-approved, and it's ready to go. This is the best part: 2 minutes. You'll have over 35 different options to choose from each week, whether it's Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, all of it. And there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day. What are you waiting for? 2-minute meals. And there's a lot of great stuff. Pancakes, smoothies, There's no prep. There's no mess meals. It's flexible for your schedule. Factor is the perfect solution if you're looking for fast, premium options with no cooking required. You just sign up and you save. You head to factormeals.com/bigthing50, but you got to use that code, bigthing50. And what happens when you use bigthing50? You get 50% off. That's bigthing50 at factormeals.com/bigthing50, and you get 50% off.
Okay. So, whether it's Dune, The Suicide Squad, Dark Knight, Blade Runner. Oh, am I listing some of my favorite movies? Sure. But I'm also listing part of a resume for my next guest. He stars in the new film Late Night with the Devil, which is going to be in theaters on March 22nd. It's going to be streaming on Shudder on April 19th. It was, whether he was on the show right now or not, I would say it, and I've said it before, one of my favorite interviews at Collider Live when I was there. Ladies and gentlemen, please, as always, give a nice warm welcome to David Dalsmalchian, everybody. David, it's so good to see you, man. How you doing?
Dude, thanks for having me. I'm great. Awesome. And boy, I can't ask for a better introduction. I feel like I need you to come and when I go to pick up my kids from school, let me take a recording of that so they're so embarrassed of me. Why? Why can't they think I'm cool?
How old are your kids now?
9 and 6.
No, dude, I get it. I got a 6-year-old and a 12-year-old. So it's like, there's, especially the 12-year-old. She told me I have no riz.
I didn't even know what that meant.
Me either.
My kid had to tell me.
Me either. I had no clue.
Yeah. My kid, he turns beet red. We'll be in like, you know, a Starbucks the other day. See somebody with a cool guitar. And I wanted to go over and be like, hey, what's, and he's like, Dad, don't you go, don't talk to them. Please don't, dear God. It's like, all right, man. Geez,
I know.
Sorry.
You're like, it's like, wait, dude, I was in Batman. I'm cool.
I got no cool with these kids.
No riz.
Someday, hopefully they look back and be like, oh yeah, Dad, that was pretty cool. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what's cool, man. I said to you before we started shooting, I said, you are an absolute natural when it comes to hosting a late night television show. I mean, this movie, first of all, I love the swings that this movie takes because I have been, and my audience is sick to death of me hearing me talk about how budgets in movies are just so overblown now and that I wish that you could just kind of go back to old school filmmaking. This movie is that. There are things like that reminded me of some of the special effects from The Thing in this. I don't want to give it away, but there's a particular moment that I'm like, oh, that's so old school right there. I love it. So tell me about that, man. Tell me about hosting a late night talk show. Was that daunting?
It was so daunting, man. The prospect of having to convincing, there's the trick. Like, yeah, you go, oh, as an actor, people say, you know, oh, what's something you haven't gotten to do yet? What's something that you wish you could do? And there's thousands of things. I want to play so many different types of humans. I want to try and, you know, capture and manufacture and manifest the essence of all different types of people from all different walks of life. But that doesn't mean that I can do it convincingly every time, right? Like, it's my job to put on the costume, learn the lines, and try my best to manifest something that tells the story and feels authentic. The danger and by danger, I mean the creative danger, the fear, the thing that scares me is the idea of like taking on something, which I've had an opportunity to do a number of times in recent years, but nothing as strong as what happened with Late Night with the Devil, is taking on something that feels so outside of my capabilities as an actor, that feels so distant from what I think I could do well, and saying yes.
Yeah.
And that, as I approached the starting line, and luckily I had a few months of preparation time, so I was able to really download into my brain and subconscious hundreds of hours of like 70s late night talk shows. Yeah. But I gotta say, man, that's like telling, you know, it was about as on par with telling me, Dave Dismalchian, you're now gonna be cast in the Joe Namath story where we're gonna have you play in a, you know, all-star quarterback, whatever the thing is, like a host of a talk show. It's like, there's so many elements to that need to be perfectly captured, not just in the way, you know, I don't think I look by any means like somebody that would ever get the job as a late night talk show host. I definitely don't think I have the sense of humor for it or the quickness. And yet I said, yes, I took the challenge on and I'm really grateful. I even would say I'm proud of myself that I did. I have a weird hang up with the word proud just because it's like, it's just, it's whatever. I don't know why. Probably my own shit that I got to work through. But like, I am proud, not of the performance. I'll get there, I hope. But I'm just proud of the fact that I was so afraid of something and I still went for it. Because even if I had crashed and burned and failed with this thing, I still know it was something that I was going to learn a lot from.
Well, dude, that's your story. I mean, I remember talking to you the first time. That's your story is in general, is that fear of what, you know, life brings at you and being able to jump over that and say, okay, yeah, maybe those things got in my way, but I've got to be able to focus on something I want to do and go for it. And you did it again here. I mean, we've talked about that and you've talked about it. So many the life struggles that you've had, you've talked about it openly a few different times and how you've overcome that and to get to this place. And what you just told me just now, I'm not surprised to hear that this was something that you wanted to tackle and did, because you were very, very believable as a talk show host. Because that's honestly, that's one of the things. I know you well enough. I followed your work well enough that I knew it was like when I saw, because a fan actually sent me the trailer way before we even had this set up. A fan goes, "You got to check this out. Look at how crazy this movie looks." And I, and
that's I, yeah. nuts. That's yeah. so cool.
Yeah.
If that fan is here right now, I mean, you know, watching and listening when we're going, like, please know how grateful I am to you and every fan that's out there that has been, there's been this like swell of support for the movie that's grown, you know, slowly but steadily since we first premiered at South by Southwest.
Yeah.
And when you have a tiny, tiny film like this, we had so little money, you know, you don't have like some big, crazy budget cooked into doing any like long run marketing. You don't have anything other than the goodwill of the people at festivals mm-hmm. who might see a thing, get excited about it. We got so lucky with the team behind helping cut the trailers and doing the key art and all of that, because that stuff, if it's not done right, people just go right past it. But this stuff, to me, the way the materials have been cultivated and curated, feel like you're really going back to the 1970s in a cool way, a new way, a fresh yeah. way. And it's the fans. It's like, it's nuts, dude. I'm getting tagged in all kinds of posts in the last 24 hours on, you know, Instagram, and people are like, you know, blowing it up. And that's just, it's such a great feeling. Because, yeah, you go make this thing and you barely got enough money to even get the final frame shot. And you go, oh, man. And I knew we were making something special, but this is just confirmation bias now to have, you know, people like, you know, your followers
yeah.
sending you the trailer.
I can tell you exactly who it was. There's a guy that follows us for a while. His name is Ed Harrell. And he always tells me when these trailers that I think that I will like, and he's been following the show long enough. He knows that you've been on the show before. And he was like, check this out. And as I said in my intro, I always root for you. I root for you all the time because you were one of the nicest people that came in there. You were so open with us. You know, when I see you, like, you did something very kind when we had the Kevin Smith and Jericho match for the Schmodown. I asked you to tweet that you did something. That was, you're just a good guy, and I root for you, and I think you're extremely talented, and this proves that in this movie, dude, because like I'm telling you, from someone who's done stand-up for so long, it's like, that's one thing, hosting a talk show, and like, because that is he's like, well, is he really hosting a talk show? He's hosting a talk show. This movie is a talk show that happens to be it's a movie that is so, that's why I like the swing of it, is that you get and I really liked what the director did with the change of style. Like when during the breaks, you go to this black and white, so you know, and then once color, it's on, we're back to, and it's, you follow this inside of this exorcism movie, which like is bundle. And to go back to what you just said before about the reason why I think that the fans are responding to it, as I said in my intro, I think we're at a time with movies right now that people are just tired of, like, the big just spectacle, and they miss that feel that this movie gives you. I like that you said you're in the kind of nitty-gritty and not sure if you have the budget to do it. That seems like all the great movies in the past, the people like that have to fight for it, and you got the passion behind it. It felt like that on scene, right?
Absolutely. It felt to me like energetically I was trying to embody and capture the essence of what you felt like when you're first watching those John Cassavetes films.
Yeah,
you
man.
Know what I mean?
Yeah.
When you've got that, like, there's something that just feels so authentic and real here. And there's that King of Comedy. I know that was a bigger budgeted film in its time, but it still was an independent movie.
Yeah.
And it still had that vibe of like, I got to give people the, because for those of you who aren't aware yet with Late Night with the Devil, what you're getting to watch here, because on October 31st in 1977, Jack Delroy, who was the host of Late Night, of Night Owls, basically was getting clobbered by Johnny Carson in the ratings. And so on that Halloween episode, he needed to save the show. So he did a couple things that were a little ethically questionable, but for his opinion, in the good service of saving the show, saving people's jobs, saving the legacy and the memory of his wife who's passed, and things backfired, things went horribly wrong. And so getting to do the presentational, you're watching a 90-minute episode of a late night talk show from 1977 that we are trying to recreate moment by moment. But then, like you said, cuts to commercial, there happens to be a documentary crew that was there that night from France that's shooting behind the scenes. So you're getting to see, and for me as an actor, what an awesome freaking challenge that was to be, here I am, presentational, you know, Jack Delroy, and it's great to see you. Thank you, Night Owls, for tuning in once again.
Yeah.
Tonight we got something crazy on the show, and I'm going to tell some jokes, and I'm going to make you yuck, 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 and then I'm going to get deep with you. And you start to think you're getting to know this guy, and you are getting to know a version of him, but then commercial break, and it's like, guys, Gus, please, can we hurry the F up?
Right.
I got to get this. We got to get this joke now.
Right.
And where's June? Has anybody seen June? Is she okay? That dichotomy, that paradox. And by the way, before we go too far and I forget, Ed, if you're there, thank you for sending the trailer. Thank you for being a fan. That, I know what it's like when you get excited about something and you see something and you want to share it with people. I do it all the time. So the fact that I... and my movie was something that you were so excited about and wanted to share, that makes me so, that feel, that's like the best feeling.
Yeah, well, I'm going to do it too now, man, because I've seen it. So I'm like, you know, now I want people to see it.
You got me on your show, bro.
Hell yeah.
I'm getting all those ears and eyes.
Yeah.
Parts. It's great.
Yeah.
And it means the world to me, because we don't get a movie like this out to the world without you and people like you, because it's just, it is a very crowded room of a lot of loud voices that often have a lot of amplification by having, you know, millions of dollars to billboard and, you know, spread the word. So when you've got something smaller like this, the goodwill of people in media and fans who are willing to chunk out some time for you to help spread the word, it is invaluable. It's priceless.
And I'm glad that you guys, and you got it at South By. How did it go at South By?
So we premiered a year ago this week at South By Southwest, and I had been there once before with a film that I wrote and starred in called Animals, which changed my life. Animals, one of the most personal stories I've ever told, ended up being in the competition at the festival and won a jury prize for courage in storytelling, which is something I'll always be so proud of.
Awesome.
So here I was, almost 10 years later, with this small movie that I was so proud of that felt intensely personal. And I walked into the Alamo, and the place was packed, man.
Yeah.
And people were like, no one had really known anything about the film yet. There'd maybe been a little bit of imagery released to the public, but like, everyone's just sitting there waiting, you know? And I don't believe this is true, but the fearful person in me, the scared David, the voice that I think haunts all of us, is sitting there going, oh, here's 500 people ready to watch this thing fail.
Oh.
Which I don't think is true, but I do. At that moment before the frame started rolling, I'm going, oh, God, what's going to happen?
Right.
And the movie starts, and people start laughing, and then they start gasping, and then they start, like, getting out of their seats. And I was like, yes, it was the best feeling
That's
to
great.
Be in Austin, and just we got a great reception? As soon as the movie ended, people went crazy.
Good. So this is a compliment. It didn't, when I was watching it, it didn't feel like a movie. It felt like a talk show.
That's the best compliment.
That's why it didn't. Because I loved the opening. By the way, I don't want to spoil it for people, but the opening gives you such a good, as you brilliantly just talked about what the film is about. It gives you such a good setup in the beginning, but it's documented in a way that you're actually following as if you're watching something on, you know, just like that old school.
Don't you remember when we were kids? Yes. And they'd be like, yes, a group of school teachers in Des Moines, Iowa.
That's exactly what it was.
They had a torture room under there. You're like, yeah. Oh, shit. It feels so real. And you know who that voice is?
Who?
It's Michael Ironside.
No, so I love Michael Ironside.
Whoa.
Yeah. Yeah. I had Michael on my show back then.
We got him to do the VO for that. Michael's so freaking jazzed, dude.
Michael's great. Vessi. So, John, I got these new shoes, and they have it's like rain wear. It's really, really, it's incredible. I love, they sent it to me a while ago, but I'm so excited to tell them about them. I want to tell you that Vessi has this innovative, it's like footwear, and it's designed for spring weather. It's great. So Stormburst Vessis are the ones that I really want to kind of emphasize, and they're your go-to for every setting, city streets to outdoor adventures, enhancing your style and activity with ease. So you can, whether it's snowy trails, wet streets, morning dew walk, so whether you're facing unexpected snow or slippery paths, it's so crucial in general to have these. I'm planning a move. I've talked about this, but it's been raining a lot in LA. And I've been wearing my Vessis everywhere. And I have, and you guys seen it. I've been wearing the one hoodie that I have that they sent me. I love it. It's one of my favorite things. I love these hoodies. I've worn it on in so many different videos. They have all weather, all occasion footwear from beach days to snowy commutes. They have so many different things. You should elevate your spring wardrobe when you travel with Vessi's Stormburst shoes. You can discover more at Vessi.com/bigthing. Get your pair today and get an automatic 15% off your first purchase at checkout. And be ready to step out into style. It is great stuff. I love Vessi. Really, really enjoy Vessi. The other thing you want to check out is ZBiotics. And ZBiotics, thank God, I went to a wedding last night. And ZBiotics is the reason that I am able to be here with you today. They are the maker of the world's first genetically engineered probiotic. You got to take your first drink of the night for a better tomorrow. Fact. It's engineered by a team of microbiologists, and ZBiotics is a probiotic drink that breaks down the byproduct of alcohol, which is responsible for rough mornings after drinking. So you have a ZBiotic for the best results. You take your first drink of the night before you do anything else. You pace yourself, you hydrate, and you get a good night's sleep. And then you wake up feeling refreshed and ready to take on the day. I love it. It is game changer. I'm not young enough to be able to just do what I did when I was younger. Don't do it anymore. I take ZBiotic. I'm feeling good today. And every time I have a ZBiotic before drinks, I notice a difference the next day. Even a night out, I can confidently plan on it and doing shows. I'm moving. So I gave ZBiotics a try when they first came to the show. I drank it last night before this wedding. And I'm telling you, I'm top of my game right now. You wouldn't even be able to tell that I was drinking last night. So this year, I'm going to form a more sustainable and better me, podcasting, doing all this stuff. This is not a all or nothing approach. So you got to go to ZBiotics.com/bigthing and use that code bigthing. You check out for 15% off. And thank you to ZBiotics for sponsoring this episode and for all the good times.
Want a website with unmatched power, speed, and control? Try Bluehost Cloud, the new web hosting plan from Bluehost, built for WordPress creators by WordPress experts. With 100% uptime, incredible load times, and 24/7 WordPress priority support, your sites will be lightning fast with global reach. And with Bluehost Cloud, your sites can handle surges in traffic, no matter how big. Plus, you automatically get daily backups and world-class security. Get started now at Bluehost.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew.
Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
And one of the things to do, and I think that we're to watch you in this role, watch you in this lead, and watch you do this. I also, as I was going through and I mentioned all the stuff that you've worked on, by the way, and you really, I think that what you do very well, and obviously from being a very talented actor and the stuff that you're working on is the main reason, but I think another reason why you are in so much great stuff is because of your attitude. And it seems like, whether it's Denis Villeneuve, by the way, Dune and Dune 2, oh, dude, I've watched Dune 1 now. I can't even tell you how many times.
Dune 1 is a masterpiece.
Yeah.
Dune 2 is 10 times better. I'm like, how does he keep outdoing himself?
I know.
How does he keep raising the bar? The guy is such a gift to all of us. We're so lucky to be alive during his time of creation.
You know? You've worked with him, what, three times now?
Three times, yeah.
So Prisoners, Blade Runner, this
Blade
one.
Runner, Dune. He loves killing the hell out of me. That's our ongoing bit. He'll call me and say, David, I've got a new thing. I'm going to kill you terribly. I deeply love you, David, and I want to kill you.
It's a good gig to have. It's a good gig to have. You know that he's going to be.
It is a great gig. It's a great gig to have. And I love him so much.
Yeah.
And he has definitely put me through hell as far as the characters I've played.
Yeah.
But his sets are by far one of the most warm, loving, safe spaces you could be playing in. So it's probably why I feel so comfortable going through those experiences.
Yeah.
When you think about how things ended for poor Bob Taylor in Prisoners, like shooting that day was, I was so scared, man. I was shaking. I was terrified of doing that scene and what it might, you know. I'm somebody who's survived suicide attempts, and I'm someone who's wrestled with a lot of PTSD, and I'm someone that struggled with a lot of the things that Bob Taylor was haunted by. And so for me, going into now we're going to recreate and try and manufacture a bunch of emotional states of being that are actually very similar to emotional states of being I've had when I've nearly lost my life.
Yeah.
It's like, how do I do this and keep my melon on, you know, correct? And you know how you do it with someone like Denis holding your hand all the way and making you feel like you're completely safe. As soon as he yells cut, you're safe, you know?
I mean, anybody that I've talked to that's worked with him, anything that you just hear is nothing but stuff like that, man. I mean, because you hear, you know, in our business, you'll hear the stuff in front of the camera, and then you'll hear the behind the scenes stuff. You're like, yeah, I don't know, the guy, he's all right. That's not the case with this dude. Plus the fact he's brilliant, man. He is brilliant. This guy
is the best.
Because you're talking about one. A lot of people say that two is better than one, and everything. I don't even know how you can say that to where it's like, that's just one six-hour movie.
Truly what I think is, to me, it's just there was a necessary amount of narrative world building in one that it isn't to in any way dissuade from the magnitude of every single scene of that film.
Yeah.
It's just what was so fun about two, because they're connected.
Mm-hmm.
They're almost like, now we're watching
one movie,
the second half of a movie.
Exactly.
That we loved the first half, but now we all know what's happened.
Yep.
Now the shit has hit the fan. Now it's time for us to go into full battle mode. From the moment that movie starts, it's it just unrelentingly doesn't stop until you are left with your freaking jaw on the floor, like I was.
I sat in the theater, dude. Like I went and I saw a screening of it. It was at Warner Brothers, and I sat at the end of two, and as that just beautiful Hans Zimmer score is playing, and I didn't even realize it. I went, wow, and I caught myself because I said it loud, right? And I was just amazed. And I speak of Hans Zimmer. You've had an opportunity to be in so many films that have his music. And I know you're a music guy. So have you ever had a sit down, like long conversation with Hans Zimmer? I'm sure.
Isn't this wild? Yeah. It's funny that you bring that up. I've always been such a fan of Hans Zimmer. And I think he's just, you know, obviously one of the greatest composers of our time in all of the history of film. And I saw him in a photo somewhere recently on Instagram. I forget what it was from, but I clicked on the link to his page because I went to go follow him. Sure. So I was like, oh, how am I not following Hans Zimmer? And I saw that he was following me. And I got so excited. It was one of those moments where I was like, holy crap, Hans Zimmer follows me on Instagram. Awesome. I felt very proud of that moment.
Yeah, you should.
It was pretty darn cool. I do hope I get the opportunity. You know, composers, it's tricky. You don't get an opportunity very often to do that, mm-hmm. There's certain people that you just don't get a chance to connect with, editors,
right?
Composers, VFX and post-production supervisors who add so many of the elements to the films that people then look at me and go, wow, you were so great in that. And I think like, there's so many people that added to what made what you think was a good performance by me that get no credit. I mean, think about it, hair, makeup artists, the costumers, sure. The people that create this whole reality that I'm getting to be in. It's like, I just memorized some lines and stood somewhere. But I think that, look at Oppenheimer, Ludwig. I mean, like, look at these amazing composers I'm getting to work with.
Yeah.
Who I did get to hang out with him quite a bit on the awards run.
He seems like a chill dude. He seems like somebody you just want to.
He's so humble.
Yeah.
He actually, he's old friends with my friend Ian Holtquist, who was the composer of Animals. Ian used to be in a band called Passion Pit, and I was in a music video for them, and he was trying to get out of the rock business. He wanted to be a composer, and so I said, well, I don't have any money, but if you want to compose my little movie Animals. And he threw a pitch to us that me and the director loved, and so we brought him on, and he's been a friend and collaborator ever since.
It's amazing. And you know, you mentioned the editors and just everybody who else who's a lot of times don't get the credit that they deserve. I really liked seeing that at the Oscars, that they gave a shout out to all those people. And the other thing, speaking of people that you're working with a lot, and there was a lot of Nolan love, rightfully so, at the Oscars. And let's talk about Oppenheimer. Talk about another movie that I was like, wow. I mean, if I'm a director, I'm calling you first, because all the movies that you're in, it's like, look, you're like a good luck charm also, man. And then what a creepy role that was too. In
everybody, again, you guys hear that? Put that out, please. Call
David.
Call Guillermo del Toro and Wes Anderson.
Yeah. You've never worked with Del Toro, huh?
No.
You.
I would give maybe a foot. I definitely give a toe. I might consider giving a foot because I mean nowadays with prosthetics, I feel like I could have a good fake foot. But I'd give quite a bit to be able to be in his lab and play in his space.
I loved Pinocchio. I loved it.
Yeah.
Oh my God, loved Pinocchio. I would. I'm gonna send. We'll clip this out, and we'll send this to Del Toro, because you guys are perfectly matched for each other. Holy moly! Let's talk Nolan. Let's talk Nolan and Oppenheimer. Like, was that another one? Because, you know, as you mentioned, Prisoners early. That was, you auditioned for that one, and then established a relationship with Denis, and then you wanted to Eugene Killian and everything. When it is Nolan, one of your first roles is The Dark Knight, if I'm not mistaken.
You are. That was the first role I ever had in a film. It was the first time I ever was on a set.
Isn't that crazy, how you're able to do that? Because you stand out in that movie, and I think that's probably, and that obviously I would assume is one of the things that changed your life is that it was that film. And
it was the thing. That's like when I think about moments like when I got clean and sober.
Yeah.
When I met my wife. When I was in The Dark Knight. Those are those watershed moments where the whole course of my life completely changed and was altered by one casting director, John Papsideris,
saying,
you, putting me in front of one director, Christopher Nolan, who then said, you, and for whatever reason, by luck and fate and hard work and dreaming big and pushing myself through fear, that opportunity now changed my life. And, you know, Chris didn't know that it was the first movie I'd ever been in. And so the other night I was getting to hang out with him for a little bit during Oscars weekend. And I thanked him, as I always do, for changing my life. And my wife Eve was there with me. And I started talking about the first time I was on his film set was the first time I was on a set. And I think, and he was kind of surprised. Like, I didn't realize that was your first time ever on a film set. I was like, yeah. Yeah. Wow. And then he called me, actually his producer, Chuck Roven, who is one of the most prolific producers in Hollywood and has become a mentor to me. And I'm so lucky. He really has supported and believes in me. Chuck called and said, Chris has a role that he would like for you to play in Oppenheimer. It's William Borden. So I immediately went and got American Prometheus and read the book so I could learn about William Borden and understand, you know. And I was just so honored that he would think that I should be a part of his movie.
Yeah, I mean, and it, you could tell, like again, from is that so establishing a relationship with these guys that you've done, because Oppenheimer, when you, that's what you did in both Dark Knight and in Oppenheimer. From the second you show up in that movie, you know, because you have like this, you can, and this is when you do what you do in late Night with the Devil, where you're this. I know you said you based it off like 70s hosts, but there I saw a little Fallon in there. I saw a little other people in there that you see throughout the years, which I thought was, and but you were able to do that. And there, and the person I'm talking to now, like there are elements of him in there too. I didn't see that in Oppenheimer because there's like this kind of stare of this just kind of conspiracy nut, this I don't know, when you're going through that book and you're really learning, like as you said earlier, how do you get out of that place? You know what I mean? Like you're in that place and it's got to be so hard to get out of that place.
A lot of tools. It's just like, how do you get out of being dysregulated when you get in a fight with your partner or your kids, or you get in a traffic, you know, situation where your impulse is to just start screaming or wag your finger out the window, or, you know, you get somebody pisses you off. Your instinct is to start texting. Like, to me, it's very similar. There's that when you're in a space where you feel like there's any possibility that you're not steering your own ship or you're losing control. To me, it's just it's a de-escalation process that involves breath work, mental gymnastics, Jedi mind tricks. Yeah, you know, I often try to make myself a fly on a wall in a circumstance where I'm starting to feel like I'm getting disconnected from my body. Try to give myself this odd perspective I learned from this wonderful book where I say, I talk to myself in the third person, like, David, you just did a really tough thing with that scene. Are you okay right now? Do you want to just ask if you can go get a drink of water? This, I know people watching this and be like, this dude's nuts. But honestly, guys, we got to learn those tools because, you know, coming out of, let's say, Bob Taylor blowing his brains out in Prisoners, I needed a moment. I couldn't, and it's my job as an actor to be able to reset, be ready. Let's do it again. You just sobbed your eyes out. You just tried to, you know, kill somebody or yourself. Great, good work. Now we're changing the light. We're changing the camera. Do it again. Do it again. Do it again. That's my job. Yeah. So I've had to develop tools and skills over the years that I wish, honestly, I had incorporated into my real life before, more than I have before this point. I'm at a stage now in my life and my journey as a grown-up where I'm really committed to and seeing the results.
Yeah.
The positive results of ways in which I can regulate, and when I start to get fragmented, combating my anxiety and depression, and I think it's interesting that I learned a lot about my real life coping mechanisms from my artistic life.
Sure. Well, you're having a hell of a run, man.
Thanks.
And last thing I ask you before I let you go here is that, as we mentioned, all these great relationships that you have and all these amazing roles that you have, one of the roles that I absolutely loved and laughed my fucking ass off was in The Suicide Squad. I absolutely loved what you did in that movie. The relationship that you have with James Gunn, you're not going to tell me, but how likely? I feel like you're going to pop up in Superman. I feel like you're going
to
show up.
I wish, man. I wish. Your lips to God's ears. James is awfully busy right now. He's definitely one of the most important people in my life, one of my best friends. I don't get to talk to him as much as I wish I could because he's, you know, literally running a studio while making a movie about the most important superhero of all time, while, you know, just being the magic madman that is James Gunn.
Yeah.
But sure, you know, I would do if James, whatever James would ask me ever in my journey to do, I would do in a second. He is one of my favorite humans, but he's also an artist who creates a workshop, a space guided by his vision that is so conducive to the creative process and that makes me feel so grateful and lucky as an actor, but equally as much as a fan. So I'm dying to see what he does with Superman, as I know billions of other people are, and I'm sure you're right in line there. I can't wait.
Same. All right, David, as always, man, it was an absolute pleasure to have you on. And
yeah, thanks, man. I hope all these, Del Toro, James, Denis, Chris, I hope all of them will watch Late Night with the Devil, but most importantly, I hope all of your fans will watch Late Night with the Devil. Yeah, we're in theaters March 22nd, yep. So please, if you can go see it with the group at a theater,
see it.
I think it's the best way to experience this film.
You'll be locked into it, man. Again, as he said, March 22nd and streaming on Shudder on April 19th. But go check it out in theaters. It is an absolute ride, so make sure you check it out. David, as always, man, you got to come back again. We got to do this.
Thanks, dude. That was awesome.
All right. Peace out. All right, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the interview. I really enjoyed my – I got to call this more of a conversation than anything else, because I just liked talking to David and picking his brain, and I wish I could talk to him for like an hour or 2 hours, because it's that easy to deal with him. So go see the movie, especially if you're as we've been talking about many times over, when these movies that are these smaller budgets that feel like these throwback to the 70s and the way that this is shot, people that take swings, this is an interesting film, and I hope that you enjoy it. Please comment below. Tell me what you thought about the interview in general. And if you haven't already, subscribe to the channel. That helps out. We're trying to get to 200 faster than we got to 100, but we need you guys to do it. Share this interview. Tell your friends about the show. It's the big thing. Thanks for joining us. We'll be back tomorrow with a live episode of Capes and Cowls with myself, Winston A. Marshall, and Coy Gendreau. See you tomorrow.